Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and welcome to all you folk out there in podcast land. This is a radio program style quiz, and I'll give you the question number, the question, then four options, some thinking music, then the answer and explanation. We'll start soon after a little bit of introduction music. Question 1.
Which one of the following four situations could you not apply the idea or the concept of configuration to?
A.
A bookshelf.
B.
A pile of socks.
C.
A sandwich.
D.
The filling of a fridge.
The answer is B.
A pile of socks.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Now, configuration refers to a setup or a system, setup of a system. So, typically, you would configure your mobile phone. So, it's description of how your mobile phone is configured. Or you could talk about a sandwich, for instance, is one thing that I do mention. You can configure your sandwich because you've got the idea of a sandwich, but it can be configured with, say, onions, sausages, sauce, bread, butter, various things which are structured. So there's certain components of a certain type and certain position. You can configure your camera to work. So generally, systems configure your payment system to come in and do various things. There's a different setting system. So the idea of configuration is a code which you add in to other concepts to tell you how something is arranged. Now we have the configuration of your fridge. You may have eggs down the bottom, six eggs at the bottom, and ice in the ice tray, and that's your configuration. You wouldn't have a configuration of a pile of things because it's not in the system. So a configuration of screws, and if it's just a box of screws, it's just a box of screws. But if you have a configuration of screws at a certain amount in a device, that's a different thing. That's a configuration of the screws in that case. So I hope that explains a bit about what configuration is.
So for the question.
Which one of the following four situations could you not apply the idea or the concept of configuration to?
The answer is
a pile of socks.
Question 2.
How many systems do we have for expressing electron configuration of an atom?
A.
3.
B.
1.
C.
2.
D.
4.
The answer is D.
4.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
We've developed four distinct numerical and graphical systems to convey electron configuration. So, electron configuration, we mean, given an atom, what are the different energy levels or states and symmetries of the various electrons inside it. So the electrons are inside an atom. Now, there's a bit of confusion here because the systems are used in different scenarios, in early teaching, then more sophisticated, and then there's the final, the fourth one, which I'll talk about, which very few people know about, but it is a system that if you read it, you can actually work out the configuration of electrons. So we'll go through that. Now, the first and most familiar one is a series of numbers, 2, 8, 18, 32, 50. It's the total occupancy, and those numbers correspond to a shell. So we'll talk about the shell a bit later on, but let's go into it. So often in a graph, you'll see a column of numbers or a list of numbers, but there's a little bit more to how that is shown. So it's actually a special, it's not a number, but it's a special configuration of numbers. And it is technically a number because there is a space value, a place value. So the first space is for the S shell, or sorry, the first shell, so the first orbital. If the orbitals have, I think, K, L, and M, they've got different names for them. It's a very confused system to go through, but let's talk about this a little bit more. Now, this set of numbers quite clearly in the full way that's shown has a square bracket, the first place number, a dot, a second place number, a dot, which is a whole number, and there's, it can be up to four or five, I suppose even seven shells, dots. But then, probably, I have to really think about that. Probably five is the most shells there. Then it's closed square bracket, and then after that you put the additional charge, so if there's not, if the electron configurations you're putting for the atom you're talking about, there's more or less electrons than the protons, that's indicated as a little plus sign, a minus sign, or a little number, negative 2 or plus 4. It gives you the overall charge of the species. So say if you've taken, say, in the case of chlorine, 7 electrons around, you'd have, let me see, it would be 2, 8. The next one would be 0, and outside that square bracket would be 7. So that's one way. That's called the numerical method. That doesn't have the name for it. So when people ask you to write electron configuration, you'd write that. The second way is associated with that. So the numbers there don't correspond to, they correspond to shells, which has a very sort of funny relationships to quantum mechanics, because a shell can have different quantum mechanical symmetries inside that same shell. So the first shell is purely S. The second shell is a combination of S and P. The third shell after them is a combination of S, P, and S, P, and D. And the fourth shell is S, P, and so forth. And you have inward village shells simply because this model breaks down. So this first numerical model is most commonly used. And in the periodic table, you can see, you can type electron configuration, you'll see this number. And if in an exam or something like that, you have to actually put the square brackets there. Square brackets is to say that I'm talking about a species. Now, the second version of this is the vectorial version, and this is where you draw. The second one is a graphical one. So in the center, you draw your atom, and everyone will recognize this. In the center, you draw drop for the nucleus, or you could actually put the symbol of the thing that you're involving. So it could be He or P for phosphorus, or you can also, besides that, put in the number of neutrons and protons. So you could say for carbon, 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6P, 6M in the center. And around that you draw circles, and each inner circle corresponds to your first shell, which is the first number in your numerical version of it, and so forth, going outwards. Now, for here, there's a slight difference in that For the first circle, the electron configuration is drawn with two circles, two electrons that can be either dots. Some people like to put the word E and a minus sign, and it's sort of a bit of an overkill. A little dot or an X will be put there. You put an X or a plus or a circle, and you can correspond. You can draw several atoms together with the electrons, different crosses, different for different atoms, and you draw different shells. So the first, second, third shell corresponding to the numbers in your electron configuration diagram. Strictly speaking, what you do is put a square bracket around the fullness of this. The square bracket is actually sort of lifting you out of the page, lifting you into conceptual space, saying for that it's sort of like a viewfinder. For inside there, I will have a charge. So for, say, you're drawing a diagram of, say, helium plus, ionized helium, you'd write helium, put a circle, put a single dot in that circle, square brackets, and outside put a plus sign. That would give you the electron configuration for helium plus. Now, as I've said, there's four, so that's two others. The next ones are quantum mechanical ones, so they're school ones from the turn of the century, and they only get you so far. And in fact, much of the misconceptions are people poorly teaching the school ones and not referring to the quantum mechanical ones. The first quantum mechanical one is where you have a series of symbols which tell you precisely the number of electrons. Now, this takes a bit of thinking about, because there's, to be honest, there's quite a lot of conventions involved in it. So the symbol for a orbital type, a symmetry, is given by this. It's a group of three numbers, or three items. The first item is a 1 up to, I suppose, 7, probably 5. And it's the principal quantum number. So the principal quantum number basically tells you the number of nodes through the electron shape. It's quantum mechanical. So you get a number 1. The next number after that is the angular momentum, the angular quantum number. Now, that angular quantum number is a number, yes, but it's traditionally read across as SPDF. There are four values. And so S is your spherical one, P for principal, it's your dumbbell shape one, and going forth. The angular symmetry is the S one. And then as a superscript, as in power thing, there is a tiny number which actually tells you the occupancy number of that particular shell. Of not that shell, that orbital type. So principal. So you can have degeneracy, is called magnetic quantum numbers, how they actually fill those basic quantum numbers. You get a spin degeneracy and a magnetic degeneracy. So there's a lot more physics involved in it. But to give you an example, hydrogen would be 1s1, helium would be 1s2, lithium would be 1s2, 2s1. As you're moving along, so it's harder to read, and you have to look it out. And as you're reading, you sort of skip over mentally. You skip over the principal quantum number, the angular quantum number, and just look at those numbers at the top. And you count the indices of those things at the top to tell you the total number, the number of atoms. And this is very powerful, because in real life, atoms don't follow necessarily a rule, and you get all these wild charles, especially as you get down the periodic table. So you've got gadolinium, which is in the eighth element along in the rare earths, the lanthanides. And bear in mind, there's mistakes in the periodic table, which we'll have to discuss at some stage. But that's by looking at that, you can actually see this set of letters. So you get a long string of letters. It's really hard to, well, it's easy to interpret, but hard to interpret. And that's quantum mechanics. But that is the quantum mechanical orbital configuration without longhand. And I suggest you go into the dynamic periodic table to have a look at it. The fourth one is pretty much the same thing, but it's also shown in the dynamic periodic table website. If you go to it, you click on orbitals. And this is a graphical representation of an atom. And it's as realistic as the Bohr one, the number two. This is number four. And it's very rare. The majority of people would not know this. But it's a system of boxes, and each box you can have a spin up and spin down electron, so it gives you a bit more, you can see the spin configuration inside your atom. And you've got the 1s, 2s going up, and then you've got 3p's for boxes, 5d's, and 7f's with two electrons going in every box. And by just filling in the boxes, you can graphically see very much the actual occupancy. So in terms of electron configuration, that is by far the most powerful. This final method is the most powerful method, but the majority of people don't know about this. And so the answer to the question is four configuration methods.
So for the question,
how many systems do we have for expressing electron configuration of an atom?
The answer is
four.
Question three.
Which of the following best describes the electron configuration of lithium?
A.
3.
B.
2. 1.
C.
Square brackets. 2. 1.
D.
Square brackets. 2. 0.
The answer is C.
Square brackets. 2. 1.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Lithium is the third element in the periodic table. Just to start off, this goes hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon. So it's the third element. So it's got three protons, so it's atomic number of three. It's got three electrons and a neutral atom. Now, given that we're teaching this, although you could say 2, 1 and move on, it's square brackets 2, 1, and then you can describe anything else after if there are any charges with a charge of. But the square brackets is important to go, and it means there are two electrons in the 1s, or the inner shell, and then in the second shell, the second principal quantum number is s1 in there, so it's square brackets 2 or 1.
So for the question,
which of the following best describes the electron configuration of lithium?
The answer is
square brackets 2, 1.
Question 4. What is the best answer for the electron configuration of a lithium positive ion, Li plus.
A
2 plus.
B
square brackets 2 0 plus.
C
square brackets 3 plus.
D
2 0.
The answer is B
square brackets 2 0 plus.
Now an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Iron refers to an atom which has a charge on it which is different from its nuclear charge, so it's got a net nuclear charge. If it's missing electrons, it will be a positive ion, and if it's got additional electrons, that is, the electron is attracted and bound into the atom, it'll be a negative ion. The word ion was developed by Reverend Wewald, who was working with Faraday in the very early electrochemistry, the idea that these atoms could carry an individual charge with it. So a lithium ion is the lithium, a lithium positive ion is an electron stripped away, and you find it very often in lithium salts, well, it's always in lithium salts, or in any situation in which the electron has been stripped away from lithium. So in this case, you would have square brackets, 2, 0, and a plus sign on the outside to indicate that an electron is missing. Now, the use of square brackets in this situation is really basically a teaching tool, because you could then again use the square brackets and put them around the outside of the second electron configuration method, where you put the letters Li, a circle with which represents the first shell, the two electrons in it, another shell with no electrons in it, which is your second shell, and just a plus sign on the outside. So your square brackets allows you to go from the outside and clearly demonstrate what you're doing.
So for the question,
what is the best answer for the electron configuration of a lithium positive ion, Li plus.
The answer is
square brackets 2 0 plus.
Question 5.
Helium has a nuclear charge of 2. What is its electron configuration?
A
1 1 plus.
B
square brackets 1 1 plus.
C
square bracket 2.
D
2.
The answer is C
square bracket 2.
Now an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Helium would have to easily be my favourite atom from a quantum mechanical point of view. So we're going to talk about the electron configuration. It has two protons, one spin up, one spin down. So each of these have a Gaussian or
centered at the very center of the atom, and two neutrons. And because they've got a different quantum number, they actually exist over each other. And then the electrons are also centered at the same point in a beautiful Gaussian. This is a smooth, the going from a maximum at the center to a minimum at the outer. And that is in the 1s orbital, one spin up, one spin down. So quantum mechanically, it's got a configuration of 1s2. There's two in that orbital, it's up the top there. And in terms of configurations, it's square bracket 2, or closed square bracket. We don't have to close the square bracket. There's no charge sign on the outside.
So for the question,
helium has a nuclear charge of 2. What is its electron configuration?
The answer is
square bracket 2.
Question 6.
What is the chemical configuration of a hydrogen ion?
A.
Square brackets 1.
B.
Square brackets 0 plus.
C.
Square brackets 1 plus.
D.
1.
Answer is B.
Square brackets 0 plus. Now an explanation of this answer goes as follows. One of the most amazing chemicals possible is one which actually has no electrons whatsoever. So it's a very, very tiny mobile chemical, and that's a proton or a hydrogen ion. And it has a chemical configuration, an electrical configuration of square brackets 0, because there's no electrons, and a plus to indicate that it's got a positive charge.
So for the question,
what is the chemical configuration of a hydrogen ion?
The answer is
square brackets 0 plus.
Question 7.
What is the electron configuration of neon, atomic number 10?
A.
2, 8.
B.
Square brackets 4, 6.
C.
Square brackets 2, 8, 1, -1.
D.
Square brackets 2, 8.
Answer is D.
Square brackets 2, 8. Now an explanation of this answer goes as follows. Carbon is one of the more interesting atoms to look at its electron configuration. It's got 6 protons, which means that it has to have 6 electrons. It goes this way. There's 2 electrons in the inner shell, the 1s2. And then in the outer shell, which has a capacity for 8 electrons, there are 4. So 2 plus 4 is 6, balancing it out. Now, the outer shell is a 2s2. This is the quantum mechanical version of talking about the individual atoms, and a 2p2 means there's two electrons in that. Even that really doesn't really describe the full story. So in classical ways, it's square bracket 2. You would actually write the word dot. You put a dot in there to make it clear. 2 or 2 space 4 or 2 a dot 4 close brackets, close square brackets. However, let's take a little bit more about the what we do in the quantum mechanical notation. Because the first set of orbitals after you go above a noble gas is the same, the convention is when you write it out in a quantum mechanical configuration, so this is the third method of writing configurations, you would put square brackets helium, okay? So that's to say the electron configuration of helium, put helium in there. And afterwards you put 2s2, which is the circular configuration or circular wave function, plus a dumbbell shape, well, a wave function of 2p2. But it gets even a little bit more complicated or a little more beautiful than that, in that you can have a series of hybridized orbitals. So you can have an sp hybridization. You can have an sp2 hybridization, which gives you a linear molecule, or sort of planar occupation of electrons, or you can have an sp3, which gives you the classical tetrahedron. But getting back to it, the electron configuration of carbon is square brackets 2, 4, close square brackets, or just square brackets 2, 4.
So for the question,
what is the electron configuration of neon, atomic number 10?
The answer is
square brackets 2, 8.
Question 8.
What is the quantum mechanical way of writing the electron configuration for sodium, which has a classical configuration of square brackets 2, 8, 1?
A
2, 10, 1.
B
square brackets neon 3s1.
C
2, 8, 1.
D
11.
The answer is B,
square brackets neon 3s1.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
After neon, we swing back to the left-hand side of the periodic table and get sodium. So sodium has got one more proton and will have one more electron. So its electron configuration, classically speaking, is square brackets 2, 8, 1. One in the next shell. However, questions asked about the quantum mechanical quantum mechanics electron configuration. Now, that starting off is 1s2, 2s2, 2p6, and then 3s1. However, there is a convention, because it's pointless writing out the electron configuration of the underlying noble gas. You can have the convention here is square brackets NE for neon, S1, where the little one subscript says the total occupancy. It's not the best way. It doesn't tell you about the spin, but you can work out what the spin is from this.
So for the question, what is the quantum mechanical way of writing the electron configuration for sodium, which has a classical configuration of square brackets 2, 8, 1?
The answer is square brackets neon 3s1.
Question 9.
If carbon has an electron configuration of square brackets 2, 4, what element has an electron configuration of 2 square brackets 2, 5?
A.
Carbon.
B.
Oxygen.
C.
Nitrogen.
D.
Boron.
The answer is C.
Nitrogen. Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows. It's best to have a periodic table in front of you or go onto the website called Dynamic Periodic Table. Click on the tab Orbitals and click the item Electrons and you'll see the electron configuration here. Now, here nitrogen is one after carbon, and as you look through, carbon's got an electron configuration of 2, 4, square brackets 2, 4. Nitrogen has a electron configuration of 2, 5.
So for the question,
if carbon has an electron configuration of square brackets 2, 4, what element has an electron configuration of 2, 5?
The answer is
nitrogen.
Question 10.
What is the electron configuration of metastable helium?
A.
Square brackets 0, 2.
B.
Square brackets 1, 1 star.
C.
Square brackets 2 star.
D.
Square brackets 2, 1.
The answer is B.
Square brackets 1, 1 star.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Here we enter the exciting world of metastable atoms. And to understand what a metastable atom is, it's an atom with an excited electron, and that electron can't drop down to a lower state. And this is all to do with quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanics gives you a particular formula, a condition for which radiation can occur. But if you happen to land in a state where this can't occur, this atom will hang around pretty much indefinitely. So in helium, this is when you take one of its S electrons, so it's 1s2 to start off with, you excite one of those up, and it will come down to the 2s electrons, so it will have an electron, quantum mechanic electron configuration of 1s1, 2s1, and it's called the metastable singlet S state. And this can hang along around for a long time, and it's the stuff that is used of sorts in lasers. It's a very interesting thing how this gets along, this metastable S state. Now, the way that you describe this is helium star, or asterisk, I call it star, and the electron configuration of this for helium ground state is square brackets 2, for the excited state is 1, 1, star. The star says this is not a charged atom, but it's got a certain amount of punch, and of course their punch means that this helium bumps into a neon and causes that state to become inverted and lase. Very exciting stuff.
So for the question,
what is the electron configuration of metastable helium?
The answer is
square brackets 1, 1 star.
The quiz. We hope you enjoyed it. You're feeling a bit more confident and it added to your store of knowledge. Cheerio, see you next time.